Thank you to the worship team for leading us in worship this morning, and thanks for the invitation to be back at First Baptist Church. Over the years, I've been here a few times, and it's good to see familiar faces and old friends and newer friends and all that, but it's great to be back. My name is Dennis, and Paul says Mel Walker, and I live in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. And I am Vice President of Communications and External Relations at Baptist Bible College and Seminary. And then I also, as Dennis said, represent Vision for Youth, a ministry that I helped start in the mid-80s and have been involved, although now full-time at BBC. God is doing some great things at the college. If you get a chance, stop in and see us sometime. I'd love, if I'm around, I'll give you the nickel tour. Won't even charge you the nickel. And show you a little bit firsthand about what God is doing there at BBC. And we appreciate your prayers. I was telling the group in the ABF hour this morning a little bit about that. This is a year of transition for us. We are actually, as many of you know, are in the process of changing presidents. Jim Jeffrey, who has been the president of BBC for over 13 years, has announced that he is leaving to go back into the pastorate. And so we are looking. I know that part of your church, Jim Vogel, Jim and Jeannie, Jim is on our trustees. So they are in the process of a presidential switch. And so I know that they, the trustees and the school, would appreciate your prayer for that as well. And then also one of the other things that's news, I guess, about Baptist Bible College and Seminary is that this past year we received word from the state of Pennsylvania that we qualify as a university. And so we will be in the process of moving to that and perhaps a name change of some kind in the future. So those are two big deals in the history of our school. And we appreciate your prayer for those as well. And then also that God would continue to supply the resources to train up students to for the harvest. We started in 1932 in Johnson City, New York, and then moved to Clark Summit in 1968. And our mission has been the same ever since then. I thank you for your friendship with our school over the years, and we're very, very committed to launching students, whether that's in vocational ministry or serving God in some other way, out into the harvest. We offer all the way from high school dual enroll for students that are still in high school, can get college credit, all the way up to D-min and Ph.D. in our seminary. I brought a few copies of one piece of literature, our College View book. If you're interested, you can take a copy back on the table. And then also my business card of how you can get in touch with me if there's anything that I can do to answer any questions about BBC. Of course, go to the website, which is bbc.edu, www.bbc.edu, and that will answer all your questions. And again, if I can help with that, then I'd be happy to do that. Thanks for the opportunity to be here in your church again. I bring greetings from my wife. I know that many of you know Peggy. She wasn't able to come this weekend with me. She is actually at home with our grandson, 2-year-old Haddon. And so here's here's the choice for Peggy. I can travel with Mel or stay home with Haddon. Guess who won? Yeah, I don't even think she had to pray about that one. But anyway, We were out last weekend in Michigan where our son and his family lives. And so on the way back, we took our grandson for a few days. Our next trip will take us out close enough. It's amazing how many of my trips take us close to grandchildren. It's just amazing how God does that. But she sends her greetings. Peggy and I live in Clark Summit, about a half a mile from the school. We have three children. I told the ABF group this morning a little bit about this, and many of you know us. Our daughter, Christy, is a missionary with ABWE in Berlin, Germany. She actually lives in what used to be East Germany. She lives behind the old Iron Curtain, probably 30, 40 yards behind her apartment is a bike path that used to be the Berlin Wall. And she is a youth worker. She is serving God there. Students from all over the world are part of that church, English-speaking, international, Crossway International Baptist Church in Berlin, Germany. It really is amazing. And again, I know some of you have heard this. Christy is the first girl in my side of the family in 5 generations. There's just no Walker girls. My grandpa Walker was one of 13 boys. I don't know if that's a record, but 13 boys. Any wonder my great-grandma stopped? Enough's enough. I'm not getting my girl. My dad's generation, my grandpa's generation, all boys. My dad's generation, all boys. My generation, all boys. All boy cousins. We lived in Michigan, and I've told my daughter forever. The doctor said four words that's changed my life forever. It is a girl. And I called home, and I said, Dad, it's a girl. He fainted. And I tell you all of that, this, to say this, and that is one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do is say goodbye to my daughter, my little girl, as she got on the airplane and moved all of her stuff to Germany. And that was 11 years ago. And how God is using her, of course, and I said this to the Sunday school group as well, if God gives me the opportunity to travel around the country and tell students, tell your students to do the will of God, that it better be okay for my daughter as well. And besides that, I get to take vacations in Europe. And so it's not all bad, but and I said this too, it is a blast, I got to tell you, to drive on the Autobahn. That is fun. Drive as fast as you possibly can and get out of the way, because somebody's got a better car than you. But anyway, we're thankful for that. In the Walker tradition, we have two boys. Our oldest son is a missionary with Vision for Youth at Eastern Michigan University. They have three, Dodd and Janine, have three little boys. Haddon, we kidnapped him, is two. And then this summer, they had identical twin boys, Titus and Levi. And I'm losing my mic, I think. Is that better? Anyway, Titus and Levi, identical twin boys, and my wife says that they have the Mel Walker genetic. They're big and growing, and so we gave them a little bit of a break and took their son. And then our youngest son, Travis, and his wife, Casey, he's a youth pastor in Ankeny, Iowa, just moved there this summer. And they have three children, two little girls. Lana's in third grade, and Ellie's in kindergarten. And then they just had a little boy this summer. So that's our family. And we started off with two granddaughters, and now the boys are rushing back for the Walker tradition. But it's great to be here. It's great to be back at First Baptist Church. Dennis was talking about the corn maze last night. I got to tell you, by my most recent corn maze, I went on this youth activity not too long ago, this corn maze, which I don't know if it was a good year for Pennsylvania corn or a bad year, but I get in this corn maze, and the corn, like, comes up to my shoulders. Which I think defeats the purpose. Hey, there's Mel. And I'm like, okay, kids, this is the way you go to get out. And but anyway, that still doing youth activities and those kinds of things. Have your Bibles. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Familiar passage. I know you know this, most of you. Luke chapter 5, about how Christ called his first followers, his first students, his first disciples. Let me read it for you. Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read the narrative, the story, and then just talk about a few principles from it this morning. Let me read it. Luke 5, if you have your copy of the scriptures, Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. And I'm reading this morning from the New King James, verse 1 of Luke 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Verse 3, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Interesting pulpit, a boat. I can picture in my mind that it was somewhat of a natural amphitheater. The people were pressing on the Lord, on Christ, to hear the word of God, hear him preach the scriptures. And so you can just picture that. The boats were there. The fishermen, says, had come in from all night of fishing. And he took the boat and sat down and taught the people. Interesting scenario, just to paint the picture. Verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Verse 10, so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. That's our text. Here's the question that this text begs to answer, I think. And that is, why would professional fishermen leave all to follow Christ? Why would they do that? Walk away. We're going to talk about that as we look into this passage this morning, and what should our response be when Christ says to us, follow me? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's pray. We'll ask God's blessing on His word this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for a familiar passage. We get it. We can visualize what happened here. Your son, Lord Jesus Christ, is teaching from the boat, and then he gave them a very vivid illustration of what it means to follow you. Help us to respond the same way, to follow you, to leave what we have as priorities and to follow you. And God, I just pray that this familiar passage would be a challenge, an encouragement to our hearts and our lives today, now, from your word. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, you can visualize. I love the scriptures. I love how the scriptures tell us the story, and we can visualize it as if we were there. And it's just an amazing story about how Christ sits down in the boat. The people were there. At the end of this message, at the end of the lesson from the gospel, he told Peter, Simon Peter, go out into the deep. And amazing, the fish that they caught were so big that the nets started to break, the boat started to sink. I mean, James and John, Peter and Andrew, I mean, it was amazing. At the end of all that, Christ says, follow me. And they did. They left everything. They left their livelihood. They left their career. They left their boats. And it doesn't tell us a whole lot of detail, but they left everything to follow Christ. And I've wondered why. Let me just start by giving a little bit of background from another one of the Gospels. If you have your Bibles, turn with me quickly, if you would, to Matthew. Probably a parallel passage to this story, only not as much detail in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew 4, it's, again, the first four disciples, followers of Christ, were called. In Matthew 4, verses 18, 19, and 20, it says this. Matthew 4, 18, 19, and 20, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, again, doesn't paint the details, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Verse 19 says, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then verse 20, it says, the point that I'm trying to make here, clearly it says, they immediately left their nets and followed him, immediately. And again, why would a fisherman who walk away from his career, walk away from his livelihood, walk away from his life, walk away in the cases of James and John, their family, to follow Christ? That's the lesson. That's the question this morning. One more quick tour through the scriptures. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John the Gospel of John, the last chapter, chapter 21, at the end of Christ's life, before he ascended up to heaven, and this is after the resurrection. Christ is immediately meeting here with his disciples. It's interesting that after that, the death and resurrection of Christ, that Peter and the others went back to fishing. And so it's almost like Peter had to learn this lesson again, that Christ had to remind him of this. In fact, sometime take a moment to read through John 21. There's an interesting scenario in John 21. Peter and John, some of the earliest disciples of Christ, were following Christ and were hearing that Christ was going to go back into heaven. And I'm sure it was a traumatic case. And one of the disciples, you can just picture this happening too, says to Christ, you know, Mel Walker, paraphrase for a minute, what about him? And Christ said, it doesn't matter about him. And then he says, verse 19, chapter 21 of John, he says, and this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said, follow me. It's interesting in my mind, anyway, that the very first thing that Christ said to John was follow me, learn from me, learn the lessons. The very last thing he said to John was follow me, stay close to me, learn. And I think that's what Christ is saying to us as well. We sang about that this morning. Christ is saying that he is our example. He is our guide. We must follow him. So what should our response be? Let's go back to our text in Luke. And I want to just suggest to you that there are three answers to our questions. Three things that were different about life. Did you ever have one of those occasions where something happens in life and you know that things will never be the same? We've had things like that, right? Wedding nights, you know, the ceremony, things are going to change here. Things are never going to be the same. This is one of those cases. This is one of those cases where what Christ said in calling Peter, things were never going to be the same. And I want to suggest to you that there were three things that were going to be totally different about Peter's life from then on by his willingness to leave everything, to immediately, now, to follow Christ. There's three things that were going to be different. The first one, as I see, is that Christ offers a different set of instructions. That's amazing to me about this passage. Christ offers a different set of instructions. Christ is teaching from the boat. He gets done with his message. He says, you know, let's go out in the deep and catch fish. Let me read it for you again, just to get the context. Luke 5, verses 4 and 5. When he stopped speaking, verse 4, he said to Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Almost like, okay, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Often when Christ calls us, he gives us a different set of instructions. And that's what happened here. Humanly, it's very typical of us to say, wait a minute. I've already tried this and it doesn't work. And what happened is Peter said he was trying it his way. It's interesting that the word toiled is used here. A word that speaks of lengthy, exhausting work. We have toiled all night long. And it didn't work. They're washing their nets. They're mending their nets. They're getting ready for the next day. Probably that they could put away their nets, go to sleep for a few hours, go back out at night and try it all over again. Fishermen in the Sea of Galilee understood you don't catch fish in the middle of the day, in the middle of the lake. That's not how you do that. And that's exactly what Christ said to them. The instructions were different. The way of looking at life is different. And things were never going to be the same because the way Christ tells us to look at life is different. The instructions are different. Folks, we are so used to doing things exactly like that, trying things our way, doing things our way, trying to do things with our effort. And Christ says, no, there's a different set of instructions. Christ said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not that. Christ said, I am the way. John 14, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's through Christ. The instructions are different. Just a couple of weeks ago, bought a new computer. And it made me realize how old I am. I am not real good at following instructions anyway. I have in my car, I have GPS. And, you know, the lady, in fact, I think everywhere I go, especially when I drive, there's always women bossing me around. But my personality is I know better than the lady in the box. I know. I don't know why I have it even, because I know better. And that's how we are with life sometimes. And this new computer didn't even come with instructions. You had to turn it on and get the thing to work, and the instructions are on the computer. A new way of looking at life. Christ is giving us a new set of instructions, and things are likely to never be the same. The key thing about that I think it's important that we in the church, the kind of people that we are that would get up on a Sunday morning and go to church just to hear God's word, is that God has given us the instructions, right? God isn't leaving us here to flounder. God isn't leaving us here to not know how to turn the thing on and not know how to run this new life that we have in Christ. He's giving us the instructions. I admit in life, there's a lots of times when I don't know what to do, when I don't know what to say, and I have failed miserably at trying it my way. And I think Christ would say, I've left you the instructions. And he would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father by your work, comes to the Father but by me. For by grace are you saved through Christ. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, not that. God has given us the instructions. And I think as we start here, things are going to be different. Follow his instructions. There's something else that's different here. And that is Christ offered the disciples, the fishermen, different results. Look at verse 6 through 9. Different instructions, but also different results. Look at verse 6. And when they had done this, let down the net in the middle of the lake in the middle of the day. Any fisherman would say, you don't do that. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat, James and John, to come and help them. So now there's four of them, and they came and they filled both the boats so that the boats began to sink. And now this. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, not saying, help me with the fish. Not saying, help me with the nets. Not saying, help me with the boats. He said this. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And then he, verse 9, and all who were with him were astonished, or they responded with amazement at the catch of fish. Not only were there different instructions, but there also was a different result. A different result. And they responded with amazement, astonishment at what Christ did. Peter's excuse, Peter's rationale is you don't fish in the middle of the day, in the middle of the lake. You just don't do that. We've tried that. Christ offered a different set of instructions. He's given us the instructions, but he's also offered a different result. And it's interesting to me that Peter's response here was, I'm a sinful man. Why? I think it's because he realized that he just saw something that only God could do. I think, folks, as we sang and worshiped to Christ this morning, I think there are times in life where we need to realize that life can never be the same. Because when Jesus Christ changes our lives, realize that only Christ can do that. That only Jesus Christ can truly change things and can truly change our lives. And if you've been around people or around the church or around Christianity, then you've seen that happen. Many of us here this morning have seen that happen in our lives as well, right? how Christ can change his life. I have a friend of mine down in Pennsylvania that a few years ago I had the opportunity to lead this man to Christ. I mean, he was like a hippie that had never grown up, didn't know the 60s were over. You know, I don't even know how we got to know each other, but we got to be friends, and I had the opportunity to share the gospel, and he came to Christ, and his name's Rick, and it's amazing to me how God has changed Rick's life. And there he went for about 3 years of his life as this new Christian, where he would go to two churches every single Sunday morning just because he craved preaching and craved worship. And to see that now that his wife came to Christ and has since passed away of cancer, terrible cancer. His kids came to Christ. They're in the worship team in the church. And all. It's amazing to see how Christ had changed his life. There was different results that were there. I was telling Sunday school crowd this morning, I grew up as a church kid. I don't remember this, but my parents told me that I was in church the first Sunday I was ever alive. I don't remember that, but my parents took me to church. I grew up in Sunday school and church. As far back as I know, on both sides of my family are believers. For decades, for generations, my family's believers. And I came to Christ when I was 5 years old. Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania, Child Evangelism Fellowship. I heard the gospel, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that day, five-year-old kid, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I needed Christ. And that day, put my faith and trust in Christ. And that's my testimony. That's my life. But I thought about that a lot since. I traveled for the school when I was a student at BBC and stuff like that. And I thought I was one of those guys that didn't have a testimony. You know, I grew up in the era of youth ministry, where they would bring in these ex-athletes or these musicians or these criminals that had gotten saved. I heard this guy tell the story about how God saved him out of the Hell's Angels, and you know, God saved him from this life of crime. Remember those stories, you know, in youth group and stuff? And I'm thinking, you know, what kind of testimony can I share? You know, I was saved when I was five. Yeah, God saved me from this life of crime. You know, there was that time that my mom wasn't looking and I stole a cookie, you know, and felt guilty. Well, I got the crumbs on my face, gave me away. And, you know, I was in this motorcycle gang in the neighborhood. You know, well, really, it was tricycles. And, you know, or that God saved me from this life of drugs. You know, I took a baby aspirin once. Or, you know, the real problem was that red liquid. Tylenol, you know, I mean, it's like, what? Then you realize that how Christ saves all of us is the same, that Christ changes our lives. And for those of us here, that probably several of us here this morning, that were saved when we're younger, realize that what Christ has kept us from and how Christ has changed our life, and we have less baggage to live down and all of those things. And that, honestly, I think you read passages like this, and I think, folks, it's pretty important that we all come to this conclusion that we better respond with amazement too. Christ changed our lives. Friends, if you're here this morning and your life isn't different, then I would just say to you, follow Christ. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ said, no one comes to the Father but by me. Christ can change our life, and we better be responding with amazement, with wonder about how what Christ did, because Christ offers different results. It's not same old business as usual. Everything is different, and that's because of Christ. Amen? Different results. There's one more here that I think we need to talk about today, and that is there's different priorities. And this is the thing I think I want to camp on for a few minutes about this, the different priorities that Christ said following Him is all about, a new set of priorities. So let me read verse 10 and 11 again. They were astonished, and so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon and Andrew. And then this, and Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And then, right then, so when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook, walked away, turned their backs on. Immediately, Matthew says, they forsook all and followed him. Because Christ offered a different set of priorities. Now, get the contrast here. Peter and Andrew, James and John were fishermen. They had worked all night long, and the indication it was a lousy catch. Christ says, go out in the middle of the lake in the middle of the day. You don't do that. It was this amazing catch. They were astonished at what Christ did. Then they come to land. Christ said, okay, from now on, there's a new priority. You're going to catch men. And they walked away from that life. They walked away from the greatest catch ever. They walked away from the greatest catch ever. Hey, I'm going to leave that. The nets were breaking, the boats were sinking, and I'm going to leave that? Why? A different set of priorities. And here it is. From now on, you're going to catch men. And I think that is the reason why Peter and Andrew and James and John were willing to walk away, because what they understood then is what we must understand today, and that is the priority for Christ is eternity, not temporal values. Right? I think that's what got him, eternity. In fact, here it is. Christ said, from now on, you follow me and your life matters. For eternity. Years and years ago, I took as my life verse, a verse that I have a plaque that's above my desk at my house that I read, look at every single day. And every time I think that I've ever talked to young people in my entire life, I come back to this verse because I want this to be the guiding principle of my life. And it's 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. For it says, the one who does the will of God abides forever. See, why would you walk away from the greatest catch ever? There's something better. There's something bigger. There's something that lasts longer. From now on, you're going to catch men. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, I'm in. I want something bigger than this. I want something better than this. I want something that matters more than this. The world has all of that. I want something better, and that is to follow Christ. No wonder they got it. No wonder they left immediately, because eternity was at stake. That from now on, you're going to catch men. There's a very convicting verse to me in 1 Peter. Just jot this down. Chapter 1, verse 24. It says this. 1 Peter 1, 24. The glory of men is as the flower of grass. Convicting. We could have the best catch we've ever had. The flower of grass. Did you ever have your son or your daughter or your grandson or granddaughter bring you a bouquet of dandelions? They're so proud of them. They're so pretty. The glory of men is as the flower of grass. How long is that going to last? Not very long. How long is it? Eternity. The one who does the will of God lives forever. No wonder Peter, Andrew, James, and John were willing to walk away from a life of temporal values, a life that maybe was the best the world had to offer, but it didn't last for eternity, to do the will of God. Folks, if you're here this morning, invest. Please, please, please invest your life in the things that matter for eternity. The things that matter forever. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Where the thieves don't break in and steal and rust corrupts. The things that are eternal. Eternal. Quick story and I'm done. I grew up in a small town, northeastern Pennsylvania. Our town had one street light. Some of you maybe have heard me tell the story. I've been here a lot. One street light, one bank, one grocery store, and now we have one McDonald's, my hometown. My family, my brothers and I, my mom and dad, my dad would tell us, we're going to walk to the store, which meant we're going to walk to the grocery store. Of course, in my family, we've always been walkers. Sorry, our name. One night, I was a little kid. My older brother was with me. My younger brother, who was even littler than me, some of you have heard me tell the story. We're walking to the store in our town a few blocks, which meant walking to the grocery store. My mom, my dad, my brothers, and I, somewhere along the line, my little brother finds this white canvas bag with black writing on the side. And as little boys would do, he started playing football with this bag. White canvas, black lettering on the side, clasp, and he starts playing football. He starts throwing himself touchdown passes, starts kicking field goals, starts spiking it in the end zone. Little kid, you know, all of that stuff, playing, kicking soccer goals, kicking field goals with this bag. We'd walked a few blocks, white canvas bag with black writing on the side. And finally, my dad says to my little brother, what is that and where'd you get it? He holds it up, the writing on the side of the back of the bag, white bag, black writing on the side was the name of the bank in our town. My dad opens up the clasp and realizes that the bag is filled with money, and mostly small bills, and a deposit slip from the grocery store. What had happened, the guy told us later, that he was on his way to the bank, and like people have done at McDonald's or something, he put it up on top of his car and drove off and didn't realize that he'd lost his deposits until my brother found the bag, and it's filled with money. And a deposit slip. My dad and mom knew it was a teachable moment. So they said to my brother, what do you think we should do? And my brother said, we got to take it back. So instead of letting my brother play football or soccer with his bag, now my dad is holding it tight. And we walk a block or so to the grocery store. And my little brother takes the bag, goes off. Small town grocery store. Old time. You know how it is. Went off to the side. They have the lanes, the checkout lanes, you know how this is, right? And the office off to the side has the swinging door, and it's up a little bit. Like the manager is king of the grocery store, right? It's up a little bit. I've often wondered about that. My brother holds it. The manager's busy doing stuff. And finally, he sees my brother with a bag, and I'm making a mess of the mic. And sees my brother with a bag and realizes what happened. All of this is going through his mind, what happened. Putting it on top of the store, or on top of the car, having to drive off, all that kind of, all that, you can just go, it's going through his mind. So then he freaks. He runs down the swing, you know, gets the bag, realizes that all the money's there, and is just amazed that my brother brought this back. So right there in the store that night, while our family's staying around, he gets on the microphone in the store. And the manager, he's so happy to get his money back. He says, ladies and gentlemen, we have a hero here. And like, you know, like both people stop, you know, and he said, I'll tell you what, he said, for bringing my money back, he said, to bringing the store money back, I'm going to give this little boy a shopping spree. And who knew it? Back there in the store there, he had a stopwatch even. I mean, who knew all they have back there? You know, and so, I don't remember now if it was 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever, but he gives my brother this shopping spree. And he said, the only rule is mom and dad can't go and your older brothers can't go, but you can go get anything you want. And so he gives my brother a cart, and like the clerk, and the two people are standing around, and my brother has this cart. You know, and the guy's got a stopwatch, and he's like, ready, set, go. And again, I don't know if it was 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever, but as soon as he said go, my brother's off like a shot. And again, if it's 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, I don't know, but my brother is back long before the time is up with his cart filled with candy. And just one kind of hard candy. The last time he was in the store, he wanted that. He went to that spot. He picked as many bags as he could. He could think he got away with of that kind of candy. Put him in the cart and came back. My older brother and I said, well, at least you could have got cool candy, like Reese Cups or Three Musketeers. One kind of hard candy. My mom was crying. And she was saying something under her breath. I think it was meat, I think. And anyway, my brother's shopping spree. It's not to be sacrilegious, but life, I thought about that a lot since, even getting ready for today. Life is like that. We have choices in our lives of what we put into our carts of our lives. We can put things that matter or things that don't matter, or we can choose things that matter for eternity. Peter and Andrew, James and John, made a choice. We're going to leave what the world has to offer. We're going to leave our efforts. And we're going to follow Christ. We're going to choose eternity. And nothing would ever be the same again. Friends, we have a cart of lives. And Christ in His sovereignty allows us to make choices. Please, 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 let's all make the choices in our lives, in our habits, in our families, in our walk with God. Let's make the choices of things that matter for eternity. The one who does the will of God abides forever. No wonder they walked away. That's what Christ offers, what matters for eternity. Let's pray.